Tony D on the third shift.
It's Tony D with you
on Yahoo Sports Radio and yahoosportsradio.com.
Starting here on the nighttime on Yahoo Sports Radio, and about 6 weeks ago, we started this MLB preview where we went over a division every single week. Chris Wick joining us from Yahoo Sports, Big League Stew, and this is the final one. We're doing the National League West before the season opener next week. My God, it's gone by so fast. Chris, how are you, my friend?
Baseball is right around the corner, so I am pretty excited right now.
I know. I was just talking to Adam about this. It feels like, you know, spring training just got started, and now we got the opener coming up on Sunday. You and I have been doing this, like I said earlier, five previous weeks. We've talked about some divisions that are hard to predict. If you take the Padres and the Rockies sort of out of it, the three teams in this NL West, the Dodgers, the Giants, and the Diamondbacks, how hard is it to really predict where this division is going to go?
Yeah, so the NL West got really interesting with the Diamondbacks making their big plunge in the offseason and the Giants spending all this money. And, you know, the Dodgers obviously made some upgrades too, but now with all these early injuries, I think this is a lot more wide open between those three teams than we previously thought.
Let's start with the Dodgers. There's always some noise around the Dodgers, but in the end, they still have solid lineup and solid rotation. I want to talk about Jock Peterson. How important is it for them to get the solid year-long production out of him?
Yeah, Jock Peterson is an interesting guy. Everyone kind of knew that he was going to strike out a lot when he came up. And I think as we saw last season, that first half was not that bad. The average wasn't great, but he walked at a decent rate. He added a lot of home runs. I mean, I think, you know, the big comp for him has been Adam Dunn, and that's kind of what he gave him. And then things just cratered in the second half. And, you know, I think he's too talented and too young to really write off or give up on. I have some concerns just about some stories we heard last season about them all making him alter his swing. And I'm not sure how that would take for a guy who has a history of being a basically an all-or-nothing guy at the plate. So that concerns me a little bit.
In terms of losing Zach Greinke, how much does that hurt their rotation? They still have Kershaw, but does the Greinke loss really hurt them?
I think it hurts quite a bit, and that was even before we saw some of these early injuries. You know, Brett Anderson went down for a few weeks. Mike Bolsinger was supposed to step in as their five after all the injuries, and even he's hurt. You know, what worries me is Scott Kevner the last 2 years. He's been a great comeback story, but both years in the second half, he's faded down the stretch. And I think, you know, part of the issue with him is he was out of baseball for a couple years. He wasn't the healthiest guy before that, and I just worry about him wearing down as the season goes on. He's now slated as their number two, depending on how you feel about Kenta Maeda. And, you know, if he has another second half collapse, that could be pretty dangerous for them because, as of right now, even though they went out and signed all these guys and they have all these guys coming back from injury, they're going to open the season with rotation being their biggest weakness.
Let's go to the Greinke's new team, the Arizona Diamondbacks, who jumped in improvement. Now they've got Greinke, they've got Shelby Miller. How do you evaluate the Diamondbacks' rotation among not only the National League but Major League Baseball?
Yeah, I definitely like what I see among the top three. Patrick Corbin will be back from Tommy John surgery, and it's been over a year for him now. He'll probably have to have his innings limited down the stretch, but prior to having Tommy John surgery, he looked like a definite number two and maybe even a number one. You know, it drops off a little bit behind them, and there's some interesting guys at the back end of that rotation. Robbie Ray had a nice season for them last year, and I think the question with him is just, can he do it again? This is a guy who was traded multiple times, and so I guess you can look at that two ways. You can look at that as a lot of teams wanted him or a lot of teams wanted to give up on him. So I'm really not sure what to make of him. And Robbie De La Rosa, he's always been a guy with great stuff who has never put it together. You know, the guy who's not getting no one's talking about Archie Bradley, is what I would like to say. Last season, he was one of the best prospects in the game, and he was supposed to be their five starter. And he got hurt pretty early on, and that kind of prevented him from making a big impact. But he's there. So if any of those guys at the back end fall off, I still feel pretty good about Bradley coming up and being an impact player.
Are the Diamondbacks still, you know, they improved a lot, but they still, you know, they had about a 500 record, a little less than 500. Is the expectation a playoff team this year? Have they improved this in the offseason that much to consider them a front runner or a playoff contender?
I think they've definitely made themselves contenders. Personally, I don't have them in the playoffs right now, but I will admit that with this Dodgers injury problem, I'm starting to question that a little bit, and I think if you look at the Giants, who I'm sure we'll talk about soon, they're depending on two pitchers at the top of that rotation coming off some questionable seasons in Johnny Cueto and Jess DeMargia. So I think, you know, you look at the Diamondbacks, you see the moves they made, they've clearly improved, and then you consider the Dodgers' injuries and the Giants being, you know, one or two pitchers away from not being as good as we expect, and I think you can easily see a path where the Diamondbacks sneak into a wild card spot.
Oh, but with the Giants, it's an even year, so that must mean they're going to win the World Series, right? Isn't that how that goes in Major League Baseball with the Giants?
Yeah, exactly, yes. The even year magic is back. It certainly helps that they seem to embrace that in the offseason and spend all this money, too. you know, as I hinted at, I mean, Cueto and Samardzija, there are some questions, but that's also a really great park for pitchers. And, you know, with Cueto, he only had a rough second half. He's been a really great pitcher throughout the rest of his career. And so if you believe he's healthy, you got to believe that he's going to be much better with the Giants. And then on offense, you know, Denard Span was a nice under-the-radar pickup. He's another guy, of course, coming off an injury-plagued season, so you have to worry about that a little bit. But when he's been healthy the last couple seasons, he's been an exceptional leadoff man for the Nationals. So I like what they did during the offseason. I think that lineup is really scary if they can get Span to come back, if they can get Hunter Pence to be totally healthy. You know, 1 through 8, that's pretty tough. And then you have Angel Pagan at 9. But you know what? You just deal with that when the rest of your lineup's so great.
What happened to the San Diego Padres? Is there any bounce back? I'm not talking playoffs. I'm just talking maybe respectability for San Diego.
Yeah, I've seen some people predict that for them. I don't really see it. It's tough for me to look at that lineup and find a lot of positives. You know, Matt Kemp is their star guy, and he's got those degenerative hip issues, so that's a little bit of a concern. Will Myers, I see a lot of people predicting breakout for him. You know, the problem has been injuries the last couple seasons. He really needs to prove he can stay healthy. And also, you know, he hasn't been exactly what everyone has expected, so he's got to prove a couple things. And then really the only other big threat in that lineup to me is Derek Norris, the catcher, and, you know, I'd say he's pretty limited as far as batting average and especially defensively. So I have some concerns there. The weird thing about the Padres last season especially was Petco Park, which has normally played as an extreme pitcher's park, allowed a ton of home runs last season, and so that was part of the issue behind Shields struggling. Ian Kennedy, who's no longer there, he gave up a ton of home runs.
Only thing I want to ask you about the Rockies, what is the percentage chance that Carlos Gonzalez is traded at the deadline this year?
I would have to put it somewhere at 85%. I just can't see a scenario where they hold on to him at this point. He's way too valuable to be playing on a team that's going to win 68 games. And you got to think other teams will be, if they're not already looking at him, especially at the deadline, especially if somebody gets hurt, Carlos Gonzalez could be the biggest name traded.
Chris Swick, again, Big League Stew is the part of Yahoo Sports. He has been helping us all year on these Major League Baseball previews, and I hope to get him on during the regular season as well. Great talking to you, my friend.
You too. Yeah, looking forward to it anytime you need me.
All right, again, Chris Swick helping us break down the National League West. We will do that coming up next as Adam and I not only go over the NL West, but kind of give our final thoughts of the baseball preview before we start things next week. And also your thoughts on the D'Angelo Russell situation. What would you do if you were the Lakers? Do you trade him? He's young. He's talented. He's your second overall pick. Or do you try to mend this the best way you can? Poor Nick Young, Yahoo Sports Radio.